welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and have a consistent relationship with Him. Today I'll be sharing a message on missing the mark. We read in the book of Judges, chapter 20 and verse 16, "Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss." The word in Strong's for miss is number 2398, and it's from a primary root. It means to miss, figuratively or generally, to sin, by inference, forfeit, lack, or even repent. Causatively, it means to lead astray or to condemn or to blame or put blame or harm on something. The left-handed warriors are described as so accurate with their slings that they could aim at a hair and not miss. The word translated as miss here in the Hebrew is translated many times by the word sin in the Old Testament. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. When sin came, it brought many curses and death before the law. And only a few were able to please God in that time by faith." Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaks." Abel was killed for being a good example. Abel brought a pleasing sacrifice by faith, took time, prayed, and this pleased God. Abel got his offering right the first time. His brother offered the work of his own hands based on dead works and was offended when his offering was rejected. His brother was a good example, and this brought conviction. Instead of admitting that his sacrifice was unacceptable and repenting, Cain killed his own brother. Cain was not willing to learn and perished. God did not take vengeance on Cain immediately, giving him time to repent. Abel was declared righteous by his faith. Cain lived 910 years, and there was no record of his repentance. People lived longer, especially as they only had the consequences of sin to help them recognize sin and repent. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 22. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things? Whereof are ye now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Paul was trying to explain righteousness in simple terms to those using their minds trying to understand. Paul said, if you go back to serving sin, you will be unrighteous. And to be righteous, you have to serve God through the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You get forgiveness of sin through the cross, so that you can now hear the voice of God and do the works he has planned instead. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul was getting his crown of righteousness because he had kept to the course that God had set for him. He was a living sacrifice and did what pleased God by faith, using the gift of eternal life. Paul was not perfect, so he responded to conviction and repented whenever necessary. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you confess your sin, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But this does not make you righteous. Be careful what you believe. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. When you confess your sin, you are cleansed of all the areas where you are missing the mark that God has set for you, so that you can have another go. Righteousness is something you obtain by doing what pleases God by faith. Now you have access to the Spirit of truth, so there's no excuse. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. And he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. You might think you are going to make heaven just because you're born again, but you need to look at your fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 to 21. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those who lack fruit want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because they have listened to the devil's offer instead. How can anyone with the Holy Spirit be deceived otherwise? Those who are unwise accept doctrines they do not test, and find out it is not the truth when it's too late. We read in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So many churches are trusting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross for their righteousness, but they're not willing to follow Christ. Remember what happened to the wicked and lazy servant. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verses 24 to 30. This is Matthew 25 and verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is yours. Verse 26, and his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have God-given talents, so that you can do the will of God. James says in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. This is James chapter 2. I'm reading verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If faith without works is dead, then righteousness without holiness is also dead. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If your life is not changing, you are listening to a wrong voice and following a way that seems right instead. If you live the holy life, you will convict those around you who are not following Christ. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Enoch did not see death because he was seeking God by faith. Enoch kept trying different things without any knowledge of the law. He did not give up until he had a testimony that what he was doing pleased God. He had 365 years before the Lord took him. We read in Genesis chapter 4, I'm reading verses 4 all the way to verse 16. This is the book of Genesis, chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5. But Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7. If thou doest well, shall that not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any man finding him should kill him. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Enoch also saw God's grace and mercy in the way that God dealt with Cain, giving him time to repent. This gave Enoch faith and hope. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 14, I'm reading. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Jesus is coming soon, but he keeps delaying to give more people a chance to repent and enter the kingdom of God before it's too late. Now is the time to get yourself ready. You have to be diligent to be found in Christ when he appears. It's not enough to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You have to be spotless and blameless to be ready for his appearing. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, I'm starting in verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Jesus will now judge the world in righteousness. He will decide who is righteous and who is not. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and starting in verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. It was our sin that put Jesus in the grave. However, Jesus will have mercy on all those who are following Christ and seeking righteousness. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 8. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul viewed the things he lost in the process of following Christ as done, because through them he obtained an intimate knowledge of Jesus. Right up to the end of his life, he was still seeking righteousness. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Paul's righteousness was not based on keeping the law, but based on the love and the faith he was given through being born again. Paul had the same attitude as Abel, seeking to be a living sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice because he trusted in God that even though he bore our sins, that the Father would raise him from the dead because of his righteous life. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The new covenant is now based on following Christ and his teachings. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul saw personally how God provided for him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I'm starting in Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. If you have made him Lord, then you will get a front row seat and see how he makes a way where there seems to be no way. This is the best way to learn Christ, by putting yourself in his hands and watch what he does. Do not help God, but just do what he directs you to do by the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, I'm reading. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so, be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 23 says this. Assuming that you've really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. For you to abide in Christ, you have to hear whatever the Holy Spirit is directing you to do by his word consistently. Paul was getting to know God by self-denial and relying on truth and conviction that he experienced on the narrow way. Paul held fast to the teachings of Jesus so he did not serve sin again. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If you do not repent when convicted, you are still doing dead works, deceiving yourself and making excuses for sin. If you're not learning from your mistakes, then the Holy Spirit is not your teacher. If you are really trying to keep the commands of Jesus and continue in his word, this will produce the right fruit, and you will have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you start thinking about your own needs, desires, and comfort, then you have not stripped yourself of your former nature, and you will sin. We read in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? The word for castaway is number 2210. It's another word which means to injure. That is also to experience detriment, to become a castaway, to receive damage, loss, or suffer loss. If you are losing things in this world for following Christ, you should rejoice. This is a sign that you will not be a castaway. If you are concerned about this life, trying to always save it, you'll end up losing your life and character according to Jesus. There is nothing in this world worth striving for. You will suffer loss in this life, and you will lose all the rewards you could have had getting entangled in this world and not doing the will of God. The devil will make you comfortable in a prison so that you do not realize you are losing your life, and he will give you some worldly success so you fall asleep spiritually. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Verse 25. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 1 on page 6, Joseph Hedgecott writes, today success seems to be the theme in most churches. If it's successful, it must be good. However, some of the most ungodly people in the world have the greatest success. There are many people who lie, cheat, steal to gain success. I'm not saying it's evil to be successful, but making worldly success your goal is a deception that has unfortunately made its way into the church. Even if you obtain it, what do you really have? You have gained something which has only temporal value. God sent you here to this planet for a purpose, and he will provide whatever you need to complete that mission. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us as a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The light affliction is also a confirmation that you're on the narrow way, following Christ, because the devil is the god of this world. What you gain in this life, you cannot take with you because it is temporal. The devil's work is based on lies, tempting people to exchange something eternal for something temporal. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You might be bitter because you are thinking of the things that you have lost from following Christ and are no longer willing to seek the kingdom. You have issues with God or a file against God. Repent because you need the grace of God in this dark world, not those things you are relying on. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Many do not believe in God's abundance through seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. The fruit is many are afraid to let go and make Jesus Lord. The devil will make you comfortable again if you serve him, so you don't see the eternal rewards being stolen through serving the fear of becoming poor. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 24 and 25. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Paul is exchanging the temporal for the eternal by denying himself and taking up his cross. The cross is a place where you lose something in this world to gain something eternal. You are supposed to lay things down at the foot of the cross and leave them there. You cannot take them with you anyway. These are things you don't need, and that will only hold you up in your race of faith. But you may doubt because of your unbelief and justify picking them up again so that you can be comfortable. David also experienced the rod of Christ to keep him on the right paths. David said in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4, this is the Psalms, chapter 23, I'm starting in verse 1. A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those living in this world will end up disobeying God and forfeit the inheritance they could have had. You should be exposed to strong messages and know that all the promises of God were given to the disciples who were following Christ. When was the last time you were corrected and repented? Jesus will correct you lovingly, but if you are not in Christ, you will experience condemnation. Paul was preaching the cross that is foolishness to some. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Some are called to preach and some to baptize. Those who baptize need to know that someone is following Christ or Paul's example. Those who baptize should be following Christ themselves and should only baptize those who are following Christ and have repented of dead works. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 5. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 5. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water in this verse represents water baptism and repentance from dead works. The devil can easily steal, kill, or destroy at his leisure those who are born again living in a prison of their own making. The devil does not have to work hard. The devil just gives you what you desire, and then you lust for it and cannot live without it. Normally, someone who is born again would set off the alarm, but due to pride and a fear of failure, many keep quiet. For more information on a prison without obvious boundaries, please read the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hitchcock. If pride and fear do not keep people in the churches quiet, the devil makes the prison even more comfortable. He also offers an outward righteousness, so you don't feel wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. I'm reading the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and wear white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou may see. There is a very comfortable Christianity most believers are following, but the end of that way is death. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Comfortable Christians often see sin as just having a bit of fun in life, and that God is the problem. Many believe a lie that if you serve God, you will never have fun again the rest of your life. If you believe that lie, you are still living in darkness. God is never the problem. If you are comfortable in this life, then you are in great danger. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The word flee in Strong's is number 5343. It's apparently a primary verb, means to run away, literally or figuratively, by implication shun or vanish from, escape or flee away. Foolish believers have a confidence that they can handle the world and think they can serve God and money. Paul told Timothy to flee the comfortable life. This is the first step. You cannot pursue righteousness without fleeing the love of money first. You will miss the target because you're always thinking about this world and fall into temptation. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, this is in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In the Amplified Bible, Colossians 3 and verse 3 says this. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new life is hidden with Christ in God. Only on the narrow way will you ever hit the mark that God has set for you. Those who come out of Christ are missing the mark because they want to do what they want to do instead. Their minds are not set on spiritual things. They're actually double-minded. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If you have set your mind on things above, you may appear to others in this world as if you are of no earthly use at all. Only at the appearing of the Lord Jesus, they will cry out to you for help, but it'd be too late. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There are six things that should be pursued with a vengeance. Now, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 6:11. One of them is righteousness. In the Amplified Bible, righteousness means right standing with God and true goodness. The word righteousness in Strong's is number 1343. It comes from another word which means equity of character, specifically Christian, justification or righteousness. I believe you need to at least a passing grade on all the subjects in 1 Timothy 6:11. Ask God for a percentage mark on each one. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. By grace through faith, you can work on one of these subjects at a time. You will only establish each one in your life by being a doer of the word, not just by claiming each one in Jesus' name. Through diligence, you will have assurance. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That you be not lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There is no shortcut to holiness, even if you've labored in love. You need to live by faith. And through patience, inherit the promises as well. You have to be an all-rounder, not just focus on one aspect. You have time to learn with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you did anything that pleased God, then it was directed by Him, not you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition, in chapter 6, on page 59, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "You can only be deceived when you are in the flesh. Deception comes from your decision to sin. You cannot be deceived without your cooperation. Whether you admit it or not, you are in agreement with Satan when you do not submit your thoughts to the Lord. Anytime you decide what to think or do, you are already in the flesh, where Satan can lie to you and lead you astray." Paul had a confidence in the flesh before his conversion, but he was going in the wrong direction. Paul was zealous for the righteousness of God, but following a way that seemed right, persecuting the saints. He even ignored the bad fruit. It would have been easy for Paul just to be religious after he was born again. But this is what happened at his conversion. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading the book of Acts, chapter 9, starting in verse 3. "And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." Verse 4. "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me?" Verse 5. "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." After the Lord Jesus Christ confronted Paul on the road to Damascus, he stopped fighting against conviction. Have you? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. "Wherefore," he says, "awake thou that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore ye be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The word circumspectly in Strong's is number 199. It is an adverb from the same of another word meaning exactly. Circumspectly means diligently or perfectly. In the Amplified Bible, in Ephesians 5 and 15, it says this, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people." Are you intelligent and sensible? Your righteousness now involves being diligent. To abide in Christ, you have to do whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to do. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not your own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If you do not have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are not righteous by faith. God has high standards, but you get to learn one thing at a time, and he gives you time to repent. If you are not changing, you are not getting to the root of your sin by listening to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Verse 2. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Verse 3. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The oil represents godly wisdom. The wise virgins accumulated over a period of time, making no excuses for sin. Those who are wise use the time to hit different marks that the Holy Spirit has set for them and are pleasing God. Through the new covenant, even the little tasks have some value and should be done perfectly and diligently. Those who are not walking circumspectly are foolish virgins, according to Paul, and will be left behind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." By the Spirit, you will know if you're missing the mark. God has set for you in every area. Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler. We read in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, starting in verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 20. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. But when the young man heard the sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His grace is sufficient, even if there are big changes in your lifestyle. The lazy believer does not like the idea of seeking righteousness. Many have fallen asleep and only see righteousness as not breaking the Ten Commandments in the law, like this rich young ruler. Those who are comfortable do not see what is hindering them from having eternal life. However, if you get on the narrow way, you will soon find out from the pressure God brings. He would take care of all those who call on God from a pure heart. Try to pray like this. God, do not bless me if I'm living in sin. Instead, send someone to tell me to repent. Use anyone to speak to me if I'm not listening to your voice. Use the Bible, circumstances, or anything to wake me up, so I can see my sin and repent. Do not bless or help me or give me grace if I continue to do my own will. Only bless me if I listen to your voice and do your perfect will. Have you woken up yet to the fact that you are supposed to be doing the will of God by getting on the narrow way? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. This is the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained either, or are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word press in Strong's is number 1377. It means to literally to flee or even to pursue. It comes from other words. By implication, it even means persecute, follow after, given to, or suffer for, or press towards. The same word press in this verse is the same word used for follow after in 1 Timothy 6:11 when talking about righteousness. It's also the same word that is used for follow in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. It's also the same word as persecute in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. The word press means to pursue or even persecute, meaning to go after something with a passion. Paul had a God-given drive in him, but this was being used by the devil before he woke up spiritually. Paul repented and let God, by the Spirit, use that same drive in him to make his flesh uncomfortable instead. You do not have to be perfect, but you have to believe it is possible to be perfect, as otherwise you will never hit the mark. Paul continued in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. I'm reading the book of Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. Paul was able to recognize all those who had already come off the narrow way, because he was on the narrow way. Have you stopped serving? Have you stopped repenting? Repent now of what God is showing you, and this will give you eyes to see whatever else you need to know now. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Regular repentance is the tenets of true spiritual learning and will take away your spiritual blindness. You have to confess committed sin and also sins omitted against a holy God. If you're not embracing conviction, you're already letting the devil control you instead through the flesh. It's only a matter of time before you deceive yourself. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Paul was serving a dead religion before, so he knew what it was like. He could recognize those who had a confidence in the flesh as well. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If you have a confidence in the flesh, then you will get in the flesh. If Christ is your righteousness, you will abide in Christ even when you are corrected and chastened. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. God's plan included the Gentiles inheriting the kingdom of God by daily denying self and taking up their cross daily to follow Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm reading verses 4 to 7. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 4. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Those who get in Christ are predestined to be like Christ. Those who do not will not resemble Christ at all. The adoption of the Jews was planned, but they chose an outward form of righteousness instead, because they wanted to still be Lord of their lives. They listened to the devil also because they did not want to be conformed to the image of Christ through the chastening of the Holy Spirit. The Jews rejected Christ as Lord by doing this. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 11. And he came unto his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Paul was also concerned that some were going to reject Christ based on an evil heart of unbelief. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, I'm reading. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We are not trying to keep the written word. Jesus is the word manifested in the flesh. He is now the standard. The life of faith is following his example and being dependent on every word from heaven through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not just another religion. It's a relationship with the living God. Don't go back to the law, as this is vain. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 6 to 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The word swerve in Strong's is number 795. It's a compound of some words. It means to miss the mark, literally. That is, deviate from the truth, or swerve. The word vein jangling in Strong's is number 3150. It's another word which means random talk or babble. If you're interpreting with the law with your own mind, you are swerving and missing the mark. Missing the mark is sin, but through obeying the Spirit, we can be free from sin. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we seek Jesus for his commands. Those commands are not the Ten Commandments, but smaller commands that Christ decides, as he is now the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot finish your race without these commands. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Jesus humbled himself, became human, relied on the Holy Spirit, and proved that it was possible to overcome sin and the devil with a mortal body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Paul made a comparison between what happened to the Jews and the New Covenant. To trust in the fact that you had a leader like Peter or Moses is foolish. To trust in your baptism or some born-again experience is also foolish. God is faithful and will make sure you are not tempted beyond your limit, but you must overcome the desires of the flesh so that you can obey God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God has now decided what you are able to do in Christ and what commands you are able to keep. In Christ, we are given love commands to keep. It might be turn the other cheek. Paul gave this list to one of the churches. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verses 9 to 21. This is Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Verse 11. Don't be lazy in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We are not to do any of these commands out of a wrong motive, but out of love. His commands can be anything he said for you to do or not do, based on conviction. Jesus said in John 14, verses 21 to 23, I'm reading. This is John 14, starting in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that really loves me. And he that loves me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. When I'm doing anything out of love for him, I am developing my love for God. These commands are not the same for everyone. You should know you are pleasing God by faith, relying on the witness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. For more information about sowing and reaping the love of God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Through smaller commands, you can now sow love into God and get love back. You always get more back from God. Keep obeying the smaller commands and eventually you will end up with enough love to obey bigger commands. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. In the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition, in chapter 7, on page 68, Joseph Hedgecock writes, this chapter includes a few signs that you are imprisoned by Satan. There are many other signs that he has access. I encourage you to ask the Lord the following questions. Number 1, what commandments in the Bible do I disobey? Number 2, what direct commands from God do I disobey? Number 3, what is my first reaction when God gives me a command? Number 4, what excuses do I make for my rebellion? Number 5, What is my reaction to conviction? Consistent disobedience in any area is a strong indication that you are a prisoner of Satan. I encourage you to use these questions to examine the fruit in your life. This chapter lists only a few indicators that you are in the flesh and Satan has some measure of control in you. As you seek the Lord, he will show you other areas of imprisonment. The word miss in the causative form is translated to cleanse or bear blame. Jesus fulfilled the law for us so that those abiding in him are fulfilling the law as well. Paul was a product of God's workmanship. He had been changed by following Christ, keeping his commands. Before he was trying to keep the law and did not change. The commands Jesus gives come with grace so that you can obey by faith and be righteous. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." In the Amplified Bible, the same verse says, "For our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable, and in right relationship with him by his goodness." There are many commands in the law. However, by keeping the commands he gives you daily, you are continuing in his goodness. All you have to do is keep his commands out of love. He will not try you beyond your ability. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul did not have a comfortable life, but he wanted Timothy to tell others how he lived so that they could understand that on the narrow way it was possible to please God. Timothy had traveled with Paul. To live the life God planned for Timothy, he needed God's grace too. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. This is Romans chapter 11. I'm starting in verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." Verse 23. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Unbelief in Strong's is number 570. It's from another word which means faithlessness. That is negatively disbelief then. Want of Christian faith. Or positively unfaithfulness or disobedience. What caused the Jews to be cut off was unbelief. All unbelief is based on lies from the devil planted in you that can be removed by repentance. The lie is still there because the devil offered you something you wanted that you believe God would not give you. Many are trapped because they are still following the pattern of this world after they were enlightened. They still have a confidence in the flesh because they did not repent of dead works at salvation. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 all the way to verse 9, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," verse 5, "and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come," verse 6, "if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame." Verse 7. "For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh often upon it, and brings forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed." receives blessings from God. Verse 8, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is burned. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. The Jews were enlightened, but could not produce the fruit, because they were not living in the light. If all things are not passing away, then humble yourselves and repent of dead works. You cannot keep using your mind, as this is also a fruit of unbelief. The only way you can do the perfect will of God is by obeying the Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Using your mind is not trusting in the promises, and you are missing the mark always. Start with conviction and do not ignore when you get a grieving. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on pages 162 and to 163, Joseph Hedgecock writes, how can God be just and fair in convicting you about something you have not actually done? When you purpose in your heart to sin, God begins convicting you at that stage. You lose your peace and joy, and you are not able to enjoy being in God's presence. Why? Because God looks at the fullness of your thoughts. He knows what will happen if you move forward with the sin. So he convicts you at the thought stage. He judges your thoughts based on his ability to see the end from the beginning. This is an extremely important principle. You need to understand why God convicts you about your thoughts, even if you have not acted on them. If you're resisting conviction, you are still like Paul on the road to Damascus. It shows that you are seeking a righteousness that is apart from God. You will be cut off eventually if you do not repent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The church teaches that you don't have to do anything to be righteous once you're born again. Most churches assume that being in Christ is the same as just being born again. Judaism teaches that to sin is part of life, since there is no perfect man and everyone has an inclination to do evil. Neither belief is correct. Sin has many classifications and degrees, but the principal classification is that it is missing the mark. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. This is Romans chapter 7 and verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. The law's purpose is actually to bring life, but only through repentance. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. This is Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul was seeking righteousness by obeying the commands, yet when he tried, he fell short of the standard every time. He was deceived and later realized that the problem was the human nature seeking a righteousness that was apart from God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Enoch and Abel pleased God by seeking, knocking, learning, and repenting. Enoch got divine favor based on his faith and kept trying to hit the mark until he pleased God. Enoch is also an example to the church. Enoch made no excuse and kept learning from his mistakes and believed in the mercy of God. He also believed that God would send a Redeemer one day to remove all his sin so he could live in the presence of God by faith. He believed that there were no timescales with God. Enoch realized that God did not want anyone to perish, but to hit the mark. By being in Christ, I am able to hit that mark and not be judged, if I'm zealous for the works he has given me to do. In Christ, I am not keeping the law initially, but get a chance to shoot at the mark that Jesus gives me. I can keep Jesus' commands because he will not try me beyond my ability. Now he becomes the author and finisher of my faith. As I obey his commands, I learn from my mistakes. And I can increase my love levels too. Eventually, I'll be able to keep all of God's commands and finish my race too, using the gift of eternal life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is how it worked in Paul's life. He started serving and ended up fulfilling the law and finishing his race. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The church needs to be reconciled to God. If the church cannot be reconciled to God, then what hope is there for the world? You cannot be an ambassador for Christ like Paul and do what you want. An ambassador is a servant of his country in every aspect of life. We are supposed to be children of God. If you are not asking God about the small things and repenting, then how can you represent the kingdom of God now? Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Expect some conviction on the narrow way. If you're not experiencing conviction and repenting, something is wrong. Keep a sin list so that you can learn from your mistakes. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, for God is a consuming fire. You have a chance to be cleansed and purified in him. Paul said to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, I'm reading. This is Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Only the narrow way leads to life. Without denying yourselves and all ungodliness and worldly lust, you cannot be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You will definitely miss the mark if you are not on the narrow way. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom from sin through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about missing the mark. Many are missing the mark that God has set for them. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with a living God. You are special. And God has set the standard for you today. And that's the mark that he requires you to hit. And you must embrace it. Every day he's speaking. Every day his word is coming down like the rain. The question is, what kind of fruit are you producing? There is nothing wrong with God. He is sending you the grace, the power, the strength. He even knows what you're called to do right now. Put yourself in his hands. Trust him. Completely yield yourself to him. Make no excuses for sin, and you will have the wisdom. You will gain the wisdom because you're not a foolish version, but you'll be wise because you're learning from your mistakes. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for his people listening to this message, that they will work out their salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that he is the one who has called them. Father, I pray that you would speak to them and make it clear to them that they have a high calling in Christ Jesus, that they don't just sit there and do nothing, but they press like Paul towards that mark and make no excuses. And Father, I pray that they will see a change in their lifestyle. And if they don't see that change, they will repent and turn back to you. In Jesus' name. You will find a summary of the scriptures I've used in today's message below the video. either written out or via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you. Thank you for listening.